Everything changes when Jesus becomes Lord of your life. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell explains what it means to have new life in Christ.
If you have Jesus, then you don't have to serve sin anymore. Death has been defeated and sin has been defeated. Salvation is not just adding Jesus to the old. It is the killing, it is the death of the power of Satan in your life. Being a Christian is not getting something new. It is becoming someone new. And that is where the victory is every day.
The single most important event in a person's life is the new birth. Yet this is also one of the most neglected doctrines in the church. In our series, New Life Today, we'll discover what happens when a Christian becomes born again. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Living for God is not only our sacred privilege as Christians, but it is the most fulfilling, rewarding life possible. In the heart of every Christian, God has placed a compelling desire to live for Him. And now, here's Dr. Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Real Transformation.
Well, most of us are familiar with the story of Luke 19 when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. The Bible tells us that he, as he arrived at Bethany, told his disciples to find a donkey. The Bible says that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on what is described as the triumphal entry on that donkey. And he left Bethany and came down into Jerusalem. And as he did, it was a picture really of a king coming into the city for his coronation. And the Bible tells us in Luke 19:38 that the people were saying, "Blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Now, what is amazing to me about that story of the triumphal entry is that the very people that were saying, "Blessed be the name of the Lord, Hosanna," the very people that were celebrating were the same people a few days later who were saying, "Crucify him, crucify him, give us Barabbas." And what it tells me is that mere emotion, celebration, and even mere religion cannot change a life. It's one thing to say, "I saw Jesus." It's another thing to put your complete faith in Jesus Christ. Because at that moment, when you come to the cross of Jesus, believing on his death, burial, and resurrection for the covering of your sin, at that moment, a transformational work takes place in our life. You see, the crowd on that day in Jerusalem supported Jesus out of emotion. They were excited to celebrate, but they did not know the meaning of his work on this earth. Now, what we need in our lives today is not more religion. And what we need in our lives today is not necessarily another celebration. Religion can be good, celebrations can be fun. But what we all need in our lives is the transformational work of God in saving us and changing us for His honor and His glory. I think of so many illustrations of the past of people's lives, and even here at Lancaster Baptist Church, marriages that were falling apart and people that had no hope, and how God touches a life and changes a life from the inside out. Years ago, there was a man from England by the name of John Newton. John Newton was a man that was involved in a miserable trade of trading slaves, and he literally would go on ships down to Africa. They would literally pull people out of their families and tribes, bring them up into Europe, and sell them for a price. And as he was involved in that particular trade, if you will, he was calloused in his heart. He'd heard about God. He'd heard about Jesus, but he didn't care about those things. He didn't care about the dignity of someone's life. He was involved as a man who was literally trading and selling people as though they were worthless. And one day while he was in England waiting for his next ship, a lady came up to him and she began to share with him that all of us are sinners and all of us need salvation through Jesus Christ. And she began to tell him about what Jesus did on the cross and how he shed his blood and that his blood can cover the sins of anyone who comes to him, that they can have their sins washed away by faith in Jesus. And that just really began to grip his heart, and John Newton fell under great conviction, began to study and seek out the matter, and finally accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. His life was beginning to change now, because the Bible says if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are going to pass away. All things become new. And he was so convicted of what he had done in the past, he took a ship back to Africa to apologize to his former co-workers, to apologize to some of the people there. And when he came back to England, history records that he actually began studying and finally became even a pastor. And when you visit the church where he pastored in England, you'll find a little epitaph on his gravesite which reads, John Newton, clerk. Once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith that he had long labored to destroy. It is this same man that wrote the song some of us have sung many times before, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. You see, John Newton didn't get just a little religion. He didn't go to a little celebratory entrance of Jesus in the streets. John Newton believed on Jesus Christ, and his life was transformed by the glory of God. Newton did not just add some religious positivity to his life. His life was completely transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6 and 10, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, and you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Think of that phrase. And such were some of you. Let's say that together. And such were... That's the transformational grace of God. That God could take an extortioner, God could take a criminal, God could take someone that you might say is so bad, and God can change their life for his glory. Well, I believe many people in this room that have been saved would say, I've experienced that. But sometimes people over the course of their salvation don't find new life every day. In other words, they don't live the resurrected life every day. They don't experience the victory that God has intended for them to experience. And this morning, I want to take these few moments and share with you how that salvation is real every day. Not just the day you meet the Lord, but every single day. I want you to notice, if you're taking notes, first of all, our personal transformation. Our personal transformation that God has designed. The Bible says in verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, being saved is not adding Jesus to our same old lives. Being saved is not just saying, Lord, you can come in and kind of have a part of my life. Being saved is not just getting some religion. But when you are saved, when you truly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, there are some wonderful things that happen. Yes, your sins are forgiven. Yes, you have reserved a home in heaven. We'll talk about that next Sunday. But the Bible specifically says in verse 6 that our old man is crucified. So this personal transformation begins, may I say it this way, positionally. God says you have a new position, the old dominion of sin. Your old nature, the Bible speaks of, is now crucified or defeated. The Bible says in Luke 23 and 44, and it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit, and he gave up the ghost. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, the Bible says for those of us who have believed on him that our old man died there at the cross of Calvary as well. At salvation, we literally identify with the work of the cross of Jesus. In fact, in verse number 3, the Bible says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death? The word baptism there speaks of water baptism. baptism, which when someone is saved, they are baptized in water. But it also speaks of the total immersion of someone who believes in Jesus. They are totally identified with Him. At the moment of their salvation, they are baptized in the sense of identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are baptized into His death. We are immersed with Him. We are 100% identifying with Him. When someone says in their salvation prayer, "Lord, I am a sinner and I trust in Your cross of Calvary and the work of the cross," they are trusting, they are identifying then, not with a religion, not with a preacher, not with grandma's faith, they are identifying with Jesus Christ as the Son of God who died for their sin. And so it is. It is a completed reality. Our old sinful nature is now crucified. And we have a new identity in Jesus Christ. In fact, he says in verse 6, knowing this, this is something that is understood. The old man, that useless old nature has been crucified. The old man was our former identity and former manner of life. The Bible calls it corrupt. The Bible calls it depraved. Ephesians 4:22 says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So positionally, the old man is dead. Now, someone says, but pastor, sometimes I'm still tempted. Sometimes I still sin. And we're going to see that in just a moment. And in chapter 7, we'll see, yes, sometimes Christians sin. But the dominion of sin over them has been broken. The power of the old man has been broken, and we now live on victory side. In fact, notice what it says in verse 6. It says, our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, the body of sin speaks of our flesh. And we all live in a fleshly body. And sometimes the flesh has temptations. And sometimes we are tempted in various forms. It may be covetousness. It may be anger. It may be lust. These various things that we are tempted with. And the Bible says in verse number 6 that this old man is crucified that the body of sin might be destroyed. Thayer says rendered inoperative or no longer a dominant power. So, a Christian will sin, but a Christian is not under the control of sin. A Christian does not have to sin. I could say it this way. It's stupid when a Christian sins because that's not our new nature and it's not God's will for our life. And we have a new power within us. The old man is crucified and Jesus Christ, the new nature, the new man, is alive within us. And so the old man, our identity in sin, is gone, but our flesh is still present. However, the flesh has lost its power over us, and so while we have to fight the flesh, we fight from a place of victory. Let me put it this way. When you accepted Christ as Savior, you entered the winning side. You were on the winning side. The old dominion of nature has no power over you any longer. Someone without Jesus, they many times are trapped and they can't get out of their alcoholism and they cannot get out of their anger. And some people die in their anger and some people die in their lust. They just did not have an ability to overcome. But in Christ, we have victory, and because of the cross of Jesus Christ, we have a new identity. You're no longer a loser. You're no longer someone that has no power over this flesh, this body of the flesh. You have power in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, the challenge today is, don't go on living your life as if the old man is in charge. There's a new man living inside of you, a new nature. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have received from the Lord. And so all of us are to understand our new position in Jesus Christ. So vitally, vitally important. We've been freed from the ruling effects of sin. We can now walk in the Spirit so that we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Everybody with me so far? All right. So that's who you are. That's your position. The dominion of sin to dominate your life is gone, and the victory was won when Jesus died on the cross, and I am totally immersed in what happened at that cross because I believe that Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. So that's where I am positionally. But how does that work practically? Someone might say, that's great theology, Pastor, but you know, it's good on paper, but how does that work every day? Well, notice what the verse says at the latter part of verse 6, that it says that henceforth, from now on, we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. So practically, we not only rejoice in our position, but practically, God says, I want you to enjoy the freedom that you have from sin. It says, he that is dead to sin. Now, there's a wonderful verse that we learned last week, and I think it's in your notes this morning, and I want you to see it with me again because it encapsulates this great principle. Look at it, if you would, Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20, notice what it says there. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So let's break that apart. I am crucified, Paul said, with Christ. When he died, I died. When he died, my old man died. I am crucified with Christ. That's who I am. That's my identity. Are you with me on that so far? Right? Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, he says, I live. So someone would say, well, how can someone that's crucified live? Because now we have a new nature. He says, nevertheless, I live. But notice here, he says, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Would you say that phrase? But Christ liveth in me. So if you're saved, you can say that and mean it. Let's say it together. But and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So the old I is dead. And the new I is alive. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And so the result of this justification is that I am going to now, with Christ in me, live a different life. Some people say, well, I'm under grace. I can do what I want. I don't have to go to church. I can tell lies. I can do whatever. And again, grace is not your get out of jail free card. If God's grace is bestowed upon you, if God's Spirit is living within you, there's going to be a change in your life each and every day. And so here we see in the Word of God that we have a wonderful, wonderful change that comes over us, not I, but Christ liveth in me. It's a radical change, and it's a reflected change. It's a change that people begin to see Jesus Christ in you. Notice what it says in verse 7. It says, now he that is dead is freed from sin. I remember years ago leading a man to Christ. His name was, I'll say his name was John, but he was addicted to cocaine. I remember when he came forward in the service, he was shaking, and he said, I need help. And as he trusted Christ as Savior, the old man was crucified. The dominion over his flesh was broken at the cross of Jesus Christ. But that didn't mean his body didn't still have those cravings. He still had the withdrawals to deal with. He still had the sin that would pull and the temptation. But verse 7 says, he that is dead is freed from sin. And one of the keys in his life was to understand who he was in Christ. That yes, he was accepted, of course. Yes, he was justified. But that in Christ, he was victorious over the pull of the flesh. And the Bible says in Romans 6:18, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. The question today, are you going to be the servant of sin or the servant of grace? Are you going to walk in grace and victory? Or are you going to live an enslaved man to sin? And so we see God has given us a personal transformation. That transformation is that I am a new man in Christ. The dominion of the old man over me is broken, and I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but it's not me anymore. It's Jesus living in and through me. And if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. And there is no real justification without real sanctification or the work of God changing our life. That's the personal transformation. Now, some people in this room have never had victory because they've never been saved. You've never had the dominion of sin broken. You've tried 10 steps, 12 habits, all these, the power of positive thinking, but you've never had victory because you've never been saved. And some Christians do not have the victory they should have because they have never reckoned their identity in Christ. They've never claimed that position that we have in Jesus Christ. And so our personal transformation is possible by the grace of God and by our newfound identity in Jesus Christ. But notice secondly this morning, our future hope. God says, I want you to have a new today, but I want you to have a new tomorrow. New life today and new life tomorrow. So look at verse 8. It says, now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. Now, we've seen the hope of the Christian already in this chapter. Look up at verse 4, the Bible says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. God says, now that you're saved, you should have a new life, this life, new life today. But then verse 5 says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So that's our future life in heaven, the likeness of his resurrection. Now, next Sunday morning, we're going to celebrate two things. We're going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But you know what else we're going to celebrate? We're going to celebrate our resurrection. Because the Bible says in verse number 5, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. The Bible says that Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. And you can study every major religion and you'll find their founder's bones in a grave. But when you go to the garden tomb in Jerusalem, you'll find there are no bones in that grave because Jesus is alive. And the Bible says if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. But it is not in this life only, it's in the life to come that there is hope also, that we will be raised up again. And so these are the promises that we see concerning our future. So let's notice two things. First, letter A, we have a present newness. We have a new life presently, verse 8. We believe that we shall also live with him. We are living with him. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. My old history died at the cross. My new history begins with his resurrection. Sin is no longer in control of me. The Bible says in verse number 9, for knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Now someone says, well, can a Christian still sin? Sure. However, the battle has changed. Before, we guaranteed to lose against sin. Now we're on the winning side. Sin cannot force itself on us because we have a newness now in Jesus Christ within us. Jesus, the Bible says, died to sin once for all. He completely paid the price for sin, Hebrews 10:10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So I have a new life in Christ now. The Bible says clearly that Christ died once and for all for our sin. Friend, Jesus didn't die again and again and again, and you don't get saved again and again and again, but we must come back to our identity in Christ, which is our newness, which is our newness of life. Alexander McLaren said, the risen life of Jesus is the nourishment and strengthening and blessing and life of a Christian. So we have a present newness with Christ. But secondly, we have a future resurrection with Christ.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.